You are listening to episode number 151 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. First and foremost, thank you everybody who listened and tuned in to our 150th episode extravaganza. Appreciate all the love. And wasn't able to get digital codes out just because a little bit of a family crisis and had to move shit around. I had to dig out the boxes for the comics. So they will be coming. I just got to get them. Got to make time. So with that, let's first introduce the panel. First up, Taser.
Yo!
Also joining us from the beloved state that is the torn ACL and MCL of Brian Powers.
Fuck you!
of Rob Gronkowski, Mr. Brian Powers. Brian, welcome to the show.
Fuck you!
Whatever. I have a quarterback. Who, I have a quarterback who has his shoulder broken collarbone, so I know it. Anyways, so let's get right into it. We've been talking about a lot of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Look on our iTunes feed or the website itself for our review of the Iron Man 3. Get ready for a lot of yelling. Anyways, we've talked a lot about that. We've talked about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And we've been talking a lot of X-Men. But the one movie that we have neglected to describe, because there hasn't been a lot of press for it up until recently, was The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Obviously, you could go listen to our thoughts on The Amazing Spider-Man from 2010, which I can't even believe. It's been that fucking long. Or is it 2011? It's 2011. I think so. 2012? No, 2012. Whatever. Okay. So, we have now officially been revealed The Amazing Spider-Man 3 2 trailer. And I have to say, I like the costume. I like that it really looks like the comic book. It pops off the screen. It's colorful. It's awesome. It's cool. Yeah, it's a costume. It's an interesting... Well, I'm not surprised that they're doing Mecha Rhino. Really not shocked. I like the little Easter egg, even though I don't think it's supposed to... To me, it's an Easter egg when you're not blatantly trying to show it. So to me, the knowledge of Dr. Octopus's arms and the Vulture's wings hinting at some kind of Sinister Six thing is kind of cool. But I liked Electro, you know. Granted, I would have liked the green head, the yellow headdress and the green and yellow, but no, it's Ultimate Electro, which is fine. I'm sure Jamie Foxx should do a stellar job. You know, the trailer didn't show much. You know, a lot of action sequences just get people, hey, remember, we're still coming out in a couple weeks anyways. So just in a couple months. So... forget Captain America. Come see.
I'm coming out. I want the world to know. Got to let it show. I'm coming.
I generally enjoyed the trailer, and my little Spider-Man in me got like excited because seeing the web singer again and seeing.
Is this that what you're calling it nowadays, Ben? Your little Spider-Man.
I haven't told the girlfriend yet. I'm generally excited. I'm curious to see who this mysterious person is, and I like that they're actually bringing up, despite that they're having a lot of villains, they're bringing up that, you know, hey, your parents kind of died under mysterious circumstances. What's up with that? So I like that. Overall, I thought it was a very good trailer, just a teaser, whatever, to get people excited about the movie again, or that it's coming out, and I'm sure by, like, February, March... Yeah, because it comes in May. By like March, April, we're getting inundated with all this shit, and we're going to be like, okay, enough, just got the movie coming out. So let's go to Taser first, because you've been very, I think, skeptical about this movie.
What, Agent Spider-Man 2?
Yeah, what did you think of the trailer?
Excuse me. I need to clean myself off. I was stoked by a lot of what I saw, you know. You've got the shadow conversationalist guy walking down that corridor with the two Easter egg things. You've got Jamie is it Jamie Foxx?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I got twisted on his last name, sorry. He looks like somebody that will be more of a player come like the second half of the movie, you know? That's how things appeared to me anyway. Rhino being a bot or like some type of craft, you know, a vehicle of some sort. That's just disappointing. You know?
That's ultimate, but, sir.
Yeah, I know. And while it's different than just having, I am big Russian guy. I have wear suit that looks like Rhino. Get out of my way, puny Spider-Man. Okay. It's not that. This is different. And, well, you know, to be perfectly honest, we really haven't had Spider-Man fight a robot yet. So, it's... okay, fine. But I got to admit, I am partial to 616 Rhino. But that's just me. I am intrigued and interested to find out exactly how that looks, though. My curiosity has been piqued. I guess it's a good thing that it looks like Peter and what's her name have a Gwen. Better relationship in this movie. Thank you. I really blanked on a name there. Peter and Gwen have a better relationship this time around. I guess I really wouldn't want to have to deal with a whole lot more spider melodrama in that regard. So, okay, yeah, there's something. The big, you know, thing with his father having a lab in a, what was it, an abandoned subway car and, you know, access to some secret facility where it's, ooh, ah. And, you know, him and Harry Osborn, you know, discovering secrets. Ooh. Mysteries secrets? Abound. Huh. Okay. You know, all right. I thought that this take of Harry Osborn is like the Ultimates one where he's more confident and what have you. I didn't really read a whole lot of Ultimate Spider-Man in the beginning, so I don't know how Norman and Harry, I don't know how they worked. You know, it didn't look like they had a decent relationship with that one bit where Harry's talking to his dad and, you know, his dad isn't calling him a useless sack of human, you know, plasma.
All kinds of nice things.
You know, but it was interesting to see that Norman was kind of like, "Yeah, well, you know, Peter's gonna die. That's how shit's gotta work." But I really do want to see that one sequence when I don't know. I guess he just flings his arms open and shit just goes flying away. Yeah, I want to see that. That's what I want to see. Also the sequence when Spider-Man is diving at that one guy with the automatic rifle and he's just spinning out of the way while still moving right towards
that
him.
Is the Rhino.
Oh, that's I love stuff like that. Oh, that just made me all tingly. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this movie. You know, I can't wait till it comes out and I could see we get to see exactly how things play out, and well, I'm looking forward to it. There you go,
Brian. What did you think of the Amazing Spider-Man True trailer?
In today's production of Invasion of the Body Snatchers, playing the role of the curmudgeon old man is me. Fuck this movie. It looks stupid.
What? Are you serious?
Okay. No. Hold on a second. First of all, this has Spider-Man 3 syndrome written all
Oh,
over
come
it.
On. If anything...
All over it. It has three... Four villains that are getting the focus, and a couple more pathetic, and the oh my, okay, I appreciate the effort going forward trying to make the suit look more to the comic adaptation, but the effects make it look like a video game cutscene.
That could just be unfinished
CGI. I literally
CGI.
Sat there and thought it was video game footage. That
could
is what
be,
I thought that was.
Okay, you and I know that's a bullshit complaint because they could end up fixing that and look a lot better on the big screen.
That I don't have that to work with. I can't see the future. This is not That's So Raven, although this is kind of Raven if you talk about the trailer. Okay. No. I'm going on what I see right in front of me, and these effects are jarring. And Harry Osborn. Just no.
He just looks like a tool.
He looks like a total tool, okay?
Which is what Harry Osborn is in the Ultimate Universe, I think. I could be wrong. He was kind of a dick.
Okay. Moving on from that.
Lol.
Rhino, I have almost no faith in Paul Giamatti to pull off the Rhino. And I have almost no faith in this movie to correctly portray Paul Giamatti. The Rhino, sorry. Paul Giamatti portraying Paul Giamatti. That'd be funny. And... The Secret Underground, come on! Are you kidding me? What is that, James Bond? Is that what we got going on with this shit? Really?
Well, his dad was a spy.
Well, we don't. Well,
oh, God. If they could include
Peter
one storyline that
Parker.
Was only slightly better than the Clone Saga, it would be the one where Peter's parents were agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, fuck that noise.
I want to rip your throat off.
I actually like that idea. His parents were, secret agents. I thought that was actually pretty cool.
So stupid. Where was I?
Hurry, I lost my place.
Apparently Aunt May is the harbinger of this super dark secret. Give me a break. It's Aunt May. What are you doing? Stop.
I'm sure she would have known something.
Did she in the comic? I didn't actually bother to read that storyline.
In the movie,
she had no clue.
I asked about... Fuck you. Anyway, the only thing that really got me out of my seat for this trailer were a few things. I like Chris Cooper. I like him as an actor. He's a good actor. I like him. I see him portraying Norman Osborn, and I think if it wasn't Willem Dafoe, I guess he's not a bad villain.
It's so hard to fucking to t- he if I don't mean to cut you in here, but I'm going to do it anyways. But
fair enough.
Dafoe gave such a fucking performance. In the movies he was in, one specifically, because that was it was all him. Where,
yeah.
Where it's like, I, because we don't know how much of a big deal Chris Cooper's gonna be in the movie.
That's true.
We don't know, but, and it appears he's gonna be sickly versus the Norman Osborn that was in the.
Which likely means it's setting up for him to become more prominent in the next movie.
Which could, who knows, but. It's going to be interesting depending on how big of a role he has in this movie, what kind of portrayal he takes on Norman Osborn. Is he going to be more dickish than Willem Dafoe? And Willem Dafoe was really dickish already.
I kind of want him to go the Spectacular Spider-Man route with that Norman Osborn. That one was an unrepentant bastard.
Yeah, he's just like...
And they did it so...
Oh, I wish my son was as good as you, Harry, Peter.
Yeah, right?
Glares at
fuck
Harry.
You.
It's like, God,
what an ass.
World's worst.
No, he didn't even do that. He just kind of said it and moved on.
Yeah.
I don't remember him looking at Harry.
No, that's just me being.
Care less if Harry heard it.
That's just me being comedic. Of like glares at Harry.
Oh, fair enough.
That's
okay,
just me being comedic.
Right.
Yeah, he's
so yeah,
just a dick.
On the short list of things I did like, Chris Cooper. I like him as an actor. I think he'll do good as Norman. The Shadow Man made a return appearance, ever so briefly.
Mysterio.
And I want to know who he is. So badly.
It's Mysterio.
It's killing me.
It's Mysterio.
Dude, I honestly hope not, if only for the reason that still means I can hold out hope that Bruce Campbell gets to play Mysterio.
No, fuck
and
that.
That would just make my life.
He's never going to play Mysterio. Get over it.
Fine, but I still don't think Shadow Man's Mysterio. Honestly, I think it could be Matt Gargan, but that's neither.
No, Matt Gargan is... No. Why would it... Okay, you have a valid point. Why not? But in terms of... I don't think of... If this guy's supposed to be pulling the strings... It wouldn't be Matt Gargan.
I don't think he's pulling the strings. I think he's an emissary for Osborn.
You think? Okay. Let's go with that theory. Then I could see it. But if it's my theory, which is probably gonna be right, Mysterio makes a much better sense because Mysterio, Master of Illusion, can manipulate shit.
Mysterio is the most pathetic villain. He's interesting and funny, but his overall worth to Spider's Rogue Gallery is pitiful compared to other villains.
You're just racist against people with fishbowl heads.
Fishballs?
Fishbowl.
You like fishballs in your mouth?
Shut up.
And you're a gay fish. All I'm saying is that I like the concept of the Shadow Man. I'm not certain he's the
Heck, it's probably the Shadow Man from Valiant Comics. Could be that guy.
What happened?
There's a Shadow Man character. Whatever. I'm just saying it could be him, too.
You know, maybe. That'd be cool. But he's white, I think, so that kind of detracts from... Never mind. Moving on. Okay. So, and the third thing I liked. I liked the foreshadowing. I think what was it? It was Dr. Octopus's arms.
And Vulture's wings.
And what was the other thing?
Vulture's wings.
Okay, Vulture's wings, yeah.
I was like, ooh!
That got me excited because I'm a huge Doc Ock fan, and Vulture is always like one of those ones that, oh,
which,
he's so old,
which
he's
can
still
only mean...
flying around and just causing shit to fuck up. You know, it's like, oh, it's like your grandpa did something adorable, and but he kind of forgot about it. That's what I applaud. So I like that. And the idea that it's coming together to be Sinister Six is appealing.
Oh, that is such hypocritical bullshit.
I did too many villains.
But I want a Sinister Six movie. Spider-Man.
What the fuck is wrong with you, man? Let me finish. I didn't interrupt you when you were coming all over this trailer, okay?
Because I'm big boss. Go ahead, I'm kidding. Yeah. I love to piss you off, you know that?
Yeah, well. Anyway, I don't have faith they can handle the Sinister Six. The idea is appealing. Execution is far too complex. They can barely handle one or two villains properly, as evidenced by another film where Ben keeps quoting the fucking villain forever and ever and ever.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Of course you don't. Because it doesn't matter who what his name is.
See, why you gotta
what
go
matters? Stop laughing. But yeah, that's kind of my short list there, what I like from the trailer. I like Chris Cooper, I like Shadow Man, and I like the alluding towards personal favorite villains, I should say, because I do hold a soft spot for them. That being said, I guess the stuff with Gwen and Peter is kind of interesting. I'm still waiting for her to bite it so that Mary Jane can come in now.
No, fuck that redheaded bitch.
Oh, wow, Ben. Someone's bringing out the inner Aryan.
I've made no secret that I've always loved Gwen over MJ. Just like I love Betty over Veronica, but whatever.
Fair enough. Also, after this one, do you think they come out with Amazing Spider-Man like 3 in like what, 2016, 2017, something like that?
Well, if it took 2000, probably like 2016 if they keep going at the same schedule.
It's Jackal 2016. Jackal 2016,
bring on
the Clone Saga.
Bring on
Ben Reilly and Kane. Bring on the Clone Saga.
You're fired.
And I love pissing you off too, Benny. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. All
right. So, but we're all somewhat enthused, mixed reactions. Brian's surprisingly a mixed reaction.
It's like a high reel for me of like three things, but that's about it. But right. I still find those spots appealing.
All right.
I guess Andrew Garfield is better at being the sort of bedraggled, humorous Spider-Man than Tobey Maguire was,
Tobey Maguire was just a derp. He was just a derp.
I still hold a soft spot for him, but that being said, Andrew Garfield is closer to what I think a comic adaptation of it would be, a straight adaptation, so I can't really hold that against him, so I'll give him props there.
Alrighty then, sure, let's, from one movie universe to another, Well, we all know how I feel about X-Men Days of Futures Past. How we're all... I'm excited. I think you guys are excited for it, too.
I am excited because Jennifer Lawrence is my is so wonderful.
I don't even care about Jennifer Lawrence. I'm in it for fucking Hugh Jackman.
Go to your room.
What? He's a very good actor.
I'm kidding. I was like, kidding, yeah.
Okay, so there is some news that was released this week that had made me so giddy.
Oh my god.
Hey, Brian, what's my favorite X-Men story of all time called?
Is it have something to do with this apocalypse guy everyone's talking about? Mm-hmm. Is that what that is? Mm-hmm. Is it the Age of Apocalypse?
Mm-hmm.
And did they just announce they're going to do an Age of Apocalypse movie?
Yes, they did.
Oh my god.
Okay. I've made it no secret that Age of Apocalypse is my favorite X-Men story of all time. That I love it. Apocalypse is my favorite mutant of all time. In terms of villains.
He's a false!
He's in Sabatner, the first mutant. Even though there was a rumor running around that apparently Apocalypse is to be an alien, but apparently Bryan Singer said he's not an alien, so hopefully he'll still
be... Boy has some sense. At least I'll give him that.
Well, he is endowed with... Whatever. I'm not going to get into it. So, while it does kind of make me think there's going to be a cliffhanger ending for X-Men Days of Futures Past, this is just the fucking greatest thing ever. I never thought, like... Oh my god, I want this already. I want it to be... fuck Avengers 2, fuck Age of Ultron, give me Age of Apocalypse, give me Apocalypse. Is it called Apocalypse? Is it called Age of Apocalypse?
No, it's just called Apocalypse.
Okay, so we don't...
No Age of or anything
so
like
it's
that.
So it's a working title. For all we know, they can change it. That's what I'm going to say. Which... I'm excited because something's going to happen. It's either A... They're going to do how Age of Apocalypse started, in which Charles Xavier was killed, forcing an alternate timeline for Magneto to take over the X-Men, therefore not, for some reason, not being ready to handle Apocalypse, which is always confusing me, but whatever, fuck it. You've got to let shit happen sometimes. Or something else happens and Wolverine dies, causing the X-Men to never form, which is probably going to happen because Jackman said he doesn't want to play Wolverine anymore, or he's kind of not going to do it or something. So, irregardless, it has me that much more eager for X-Men First Class to see how this shit happens. Will they drop hints to Apocalypse and Days of Futures Past, or also the extra credit sequence? So, before I ask you the second question, Taser, what do you think of this Apocalypse guy?
Well, we've had this conversation before. I'm not that big a fan of Apocalypse.
Well, you're wrong.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry that I'm not sorry that I don't think much of Apocalypse, even though I thought that I liked his entry into the Marvel Universe a lot better when it was him and X-Factor. Way back in the day.
Walter and Louis Simonson.
Exactly.
I know my Apocalypse shit, my friend.
No, I was more for Fearless than you.
Oh, okay.
Because I know he didn't. Anyway. That was better and more well done, in my opinion. I liked how the character worked then. What he's turned into, and especially what he is now. I could do without.
He's kind of
I wasn't really around for a lot of like the Heroes Reborn and you know the clarification of who the 12 were and all of that, and I'm kind of glad, but I liked a lot of the early stuff, but what Apocalypse really ended up becoming, I wasn't a fan of. So that
his national ascension to the ruler of mutants. I can see why you wouldn't like that, because that's bad news for humans.
Well, I don't like dictators, so that's the whole thing right there. But I also know that, considering they're going with the first class group, Yeah, we're not. You're not going to get your apocalypse. You're going to get a decidedly watered down and whitewashed version of apocalypse.
Don't spoil this for me, old man. Let me dream the dream. God,
we don't take kindly to your kind of shit around here, Kaiser.
You're not gonna get it.
I'm gonna get it.
On top of which,
you know what? You know, I'm gonna go write the fucking screenplay myself.
You have to look and see what they have to work with, and think about how they gotta work him in. Think about it.
It's possible. I'm gonna get my
insights. I'm saying it's a guarantee. You're going to be almost as pissed off with him as you were with
No, it's apocalypse. You can't.
Nah, it doesn't matter.
No, nope.
He's gonna get white. He's gonna get watered
Taser's
down.
Taser's sick of her mouth.
He's gonna be
shut it.
He's gonna be tall. He's gonna be able to morph his body. He's gonna have those weird wire things.
He does very little of that. He won't have the fucking energy beams, and he won't have the armor. He probably won't even be Egyptian. If he does, he'll be Caucasian Egyptian.
To be fair, the Egyptian thing, I don't want to say didn't matter, because it does, but
really?
It's not what
so
drives...
They can make Charles Xavier black.
No, okay, look, he's All not right the then. Mandarin, okay? No, he's not the Mandarin. His ethnic ties do not bind him to a certain way of operating, okay? He sees himself as a mutant, first and foremost. That's where the character really shines.
Okay, so then again, you can make Charles Xavier black.
Not the same argument.
That actually
if the idea of him being Egyptian and his whole Montauk was based on Egyptian things, I could agree with you, but his whole thing is social Darwinism, the strongest will survive, which doesn't play
in that. Which is what it's turned into, yes, I'll agree with that.
Which is what the version they're going to go with. This is the version they're going to go with. They're not going to go with...
You know what? They probably won't go with that either.
And in fact, they've retconned it to where he's... The beginning is the strong will survive, and Darwin just confirmed that for that guy. That's apocalypse. That's what apocalypse is thinking to me.
I'll accept that, but we're talking about complexities with the comic book character that I doubt will survive into the movie character because it's as he's as complex as he is. I doubt that.
If he has,
we're also talking. Okay, so let me ask you this: do you think that they're going to include, you know, all of the upgrades and whatever the hell that he gave himself? Since he had basically a celestial recorder. No.
Do I think he's going to have the ship or all that? Probably not.
Probably?
Probably not. I'm holding hope, goddammit.
Most likely.
Goddammit, I'm holding hope. So, if it's an ominous...
Yeah, Taser still is hoping to see Puck show up, okay?
If I can get a...
Bishop is now a black Frenchman... But okay, yeah, Apocalypse will probably...
Since when is
he's
Bishop
only played by a...
He's
no,
not
he's
French.
Only played
he's not French,
by a
though.
Black Frenchman.
He's not French.
Which is what they've made him.
How do we know? Other than
no,
that the actor...
No, he doesn't know. He's assuming.
That doesn't mean the guy is talking French.
On the actor's ethnicity. He's not...
Have you seen an Aborigine? They don't look black.
I've saw...
The guy playing Bishop is a... He's not an Aborigine. He's a Nubian.
That doesn't mean they're gonna. France. That doesn't mean they're gonna have him talk like a Frenchman, though. If a trailer comes out,
right?
Wait a second. You're telling me Bishop is Aborigine?
Yes.
I didn't even fucking.
No know. Fucking way. No, he's very clearly.
Yeah, look it up.
Okay, fine. You guys go back. I'm going to go look this up real quick. You
look,
keep talking.
What I'm saying is if I get the resemblance of a character, granted, I accept that certain things will be changed because it has to fit in what the X-Men have been set up to be. If I can get a strong, powerful, ominous character who believes in the idea the strong will only serve, the strong can survive, will I get the exact...
Magneto. Duh.
Magneto
is not... Magneto.
to an extreme.
You mean even more of an extreme?
Yes. If Magneto will be willing to... Magneto has always struck me as a character. He won't kill you if you're a mutant. He'll give you the choice unless you get in his way. Apocalypse doesn't give a fuck. You either side with him or you don't. That's it. There is no middle ground with him. Only... That's his whole shtick, or at least his, as you pointed out, his modern shtick. Only the strong will survive. If I get that, if I get a resemblance of this powerful mutant who dominates the shit out of everybody else and is this lord of everything, along with Mr. Sinister, God help me if I could get Mr. Sinister up in this movie. then yes.
If they're gonna bring in Sinister, they have to start doing Cyclops again. That's the way that works.
Well, there was a fucking theory that Cyclops doesn't die at the end of X3, but Mr. Sinister and the Marauders find him, so that's why Cyclops will be alive. Considering that,
I know it's not gonna happen, but it did.
Hey, you never know. What the hell is James Marsden doing recently? He's not doing shit.
I think he's playing Charlie Manson.
Patrick Stewart. Or tell the
he's playing Charlie.
All I'm saying is, for all you Cyclops lovers, I just wrote a way for Cyclops to come back in true comic book fashion. Get on me. So what I'm saying is that's all I'm saying is that if I can get a resemblance of that core character idea, who's physically, not physically imposing, that's the right word, but I'm not gonna get the blue guy. I know I'm probably not gonna get the blue guy. If I can get the hint of that, because I know not everything. That works in comics works in film. It just doesn't work like that. What I don't want is the Mandarin where it's not even the same character, because that wasn't the same character. Like Gamera said in our Iron Man 3 cast, Doom, at least in Silver Surfer 2, was at least more Doom-like. He wasn't Doom all the way. He was more Doom-like. If I can get some with that, but a little bit more with the big A, I'll be happy. And then I can just go read Age of Apocalypse to get the true Apocalypse. Which is fine. There's fine for different verses, is what I'm saying. But if I can get the strong will survive, that's cool. And this is one of my...
Okay. I just want to cut in here. Hey, Bri, look at that link.
I will in just a second, Taser. I already found out, okay? And first of all, I don't care anymore.
Again, if they have... The actor talking
I
like a Frenchman
was black for the longest time. I'm actually kind of embarrassed by it. Oh my gosh! But yeah, that's crazy. I can't even. How has that never come up before? I feel like it should have been something more important.
You know why? And I'll tell you why. Because he was dark skinned and he had dreadlocks, and nobody gave a fuck.
They
just went, "Oh, black guy." You know what, though? It hadn't come up until they decided to give him an origin. For the longest time, you didn't know what his backstory was. When they made him the Aborigine, nobody really paid that much attention to him. You know, attention to it.
Right, because they'd already known the character at that point.
Yeah, you know, so who cared, you know?
Fair enough. But, Bishop notwithstanding... I think Apocalypse is a larger than life. He's large enough as a villain that I think they can hit the mark pretty decently if they at least try. I mean, unless it's like at the end where it's like all of a sudden he was an actor hired by Magneto to throw off the X-Men.
As long as they don't do the bullshit they did in Ultimate X-Men where Sinister morphs into Apocalypse, I'll be fine.
Is that what they did?
Sinister, I can't remember exactly.
No, well, I don't think Sinister has been into the chamber, and he got taken over and turned into.
It's been a long time. I remember Sinister somehow becoming Apocalypse. I have to reread it again, but I remember hating it. But I know they were connected, and it wasn't two different characters. It was one character. That Sinister became Apocalypse in the Ultimate Universe, and that Phoenix had to stop him, which could be the return of Jean Grey in that movie. But I don't know which if it's first class, if you know how the ending, you know, how X-Men Age of Apocalypse worked, that Magneto was the leader of the X-Men, and this could be a great time for Fassbender to be in that lead role in an X-Men movie, which would be great, because I loved him as Magneto in First Class. I think a lot of people did, especially that scene where he's hunting Nazis.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I'm super excited. Because also this could mean an appearance by Cable, or hint of Cable and Mr. Sinister. Not that you need Mr. Sinister or Cable for Apocalypse, but they've over the years they've weaved all three of those characters together, and the Summers family in general, with Sinister at least, not Apocalypse necessarily. So yeah, I'm super super excited. I'm gonna be excited. I'm gonna look at my Apocalypse toy and just say, you're gonna be on the big screen like Thanos. Yeah.
I'll say this. I'm intrigued to see exactly what they do, because I know it's not going to be anything like what we got in the comic. Anything like what we get in the comic. And I want to see how watered down Apocalypse really is. If he doesn't, to me, I'll be happy if he comes off, you know, with this big grandeur plan and you know, he's okay, maybe not necessarily ranting, but yeah, this shit is just going to either you get swept along with it and jump on, or you will get swept away. I guess I could satisfy myself with that, mm-hmm. but I know we're not going to get En Sabaneur. I just know it. We're not going to get that. So
hopefully this also means an appearance for Archangel. Hopefully. I would love to see Archangel.
God, that would be amazing. Or if Wolverine really does die in this movie and he gets brought back as Death in the next movie, that would be something.
No. Look, I would be happy. I would like for us to get the Four Horsemen. And I mean the original Four Horsemen. Riding those flying metal horses and freaking Death, Famine, what's it? Death, Famine, War,
and Pestilence.
Pestilence. Okay, I would love for that.
You know what? That'll be the interesting one, because considering they don't like to do the whole... I don't actually know if they want to do the whole Christian thing, actually. That'd be interesting to see if they actually do it or
they
not.
They probably won't.
I hope they do.
They probably won't.
Look at
what they did with Thor, so...
Well, this is... Well...
No. We're talking about characters who have creation origins, and that's Odin.
Yeah.
Odin is supposed to have created, you know, Midgard Earth, so therefore he's God, blah, blah, blah. They'll stay away from that, you know. So look what they did with them. They said, we're not God.
Well, the Apocalypse, they could just, the Apocalypse, they could just, like, you are the servants of me, not necessarily tied to any deity. It's just you are tied to me, who wants to become a deity. Or at least that's how I would write it if I was writing an Apocalypse movie, but whatever. To become the highest of the high.
Highest of the high.
Here's an idea. Never mind. I'm not gonna do the Jesus meme on the show. So that's 2016. We still gotta get to Days of Futures Past coming in April. So let's get to that first. God damn it, April can't come fast fucking enough. We got X-Men, Captain America, and Spider-Man all in the span of 4 months. That's gonna be awesome, awesome movie going time.
I'm gonna be broke by the time it's all done.
Yeah. All right, so let's go on to the last thing, bit of news, as it's been announced, obviously, a couple weeks ago we talked about Netflix on Marvel, the big thing. One of my favorite characters, Daredevil, going to be on the going to have his own TV show. Yes! Now, they have announced that officially that Drew Goddard, Brian, list off his credentials, please.
Okay, well, he's worked with Joss Whedon before, in case any of you were wondering. He did a little bit of writing on a little indie series called Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel, if you ever heard of those before.
I've never heard of those in my entire life.
I know, right? Nobody has. He's a virtual unknown. He also directed... What?
Who's that guy?
Drew Goddard?
No, the other one.
Josh
Whedon? The guy who created the series? I don't know, some dude.
Okay.
He joined J.J. Abrams' Bad Robot, and he wrote for Alias and Lost, and he also directed Cabin in the Woods, which is his directorial debut.
Which was awesome. It was a damn good movie.
It was a very excellent meta movie, I'll give it that.
It had a kick-ass ending.
Don't spoil it for people who haven't seen it, because that's one of those scenes you have to see.
Yes, it is.
So, all right. We don't know much about him. We don't know anything. We don't know casting. We don't know shit. So I'm going to ask you guys, if you had to pick one tone, a tone that you want set for Daredevil, for the TV show, what would it be? And because I'm the dick, I'm going to go first, and I'm just going to say two words that's going to piss Brian off. Two words that describe
Frank Miller. He's like, I'm Frank Miller.
Damn it.
You.
Look. Fuck you. I'm just going to say two words, and this was back when he was, I'm going to say it, not insane and not old, although he was pretty bitter, I think, at that point, too. Just get Frank Miller.
You better not say it.
What? Just what? What do you think I'm going to say?
Shadowland.
No, fuck no. I hate Shadowland.
Okay.
No. Just Frank Miller. Those two, Frank and Miller. Just go read his shit. Go look what
he... Why you gotta hurt me so bad?
Because despite that, what you think of Frank Miller, now, that man in the 1980s was a fucking comic genius, and his books are some of the best books to come out of that decade. I know, because I spent a lot of money hunting that shit down. So, having read Born Again, his entire run, of course, his other projects, but Daredevil specifically, he made his name on Daredevil. He literally made his name on Daredevil.
Nah, I think he made his name with Wolverine.
No. Wolverine solidified it. He started making his name. Wolverine solidified it.
Okay.
Just look at his works. Look at the Elektra stuff he did. Look at the stuff he did. Just use that. Just take that and use that for the tortured, somewhat fucked up life of Matt Murdock. Not nearly as fucked up as Bendis and Brubaker did, because they made it way more than Miller ever did. Even though Miller made it pretty bad at some points. Just do that. I know maybe you can't include Elektra because maybe Fox still own. No, they wouldn't, right? I don't think they would.
Do we have to have Elektra?
No.
Okay.
I would love it if they did, though, because then it would chance to rectify that what they did with
Isn't
Elektra.
Isn't it great? I would love Elektra. Oh, like it.
Well, like a better Elektra than what Jennifer Garner, who I love, but she wasn't Elektra. Maybe they actually catch, you know. So, yes, it doesn't necessarily have to be Elektra, but I want that same tone. Maybe not the same, like, story for story beats, but that same tone that Frank Miller had for Daredevil. That idea of that character. That's what I want. I'm going to stop talking.
Okay.
You can go ahead, Brian.
I can go now? Are you sure?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. If I had to choose a direction in which to send this new Daredevil program, I would probably also sum it up in two words. They're not Frank Miller, though, because, you know, fuck Frank Miller. No, I'm just kidding. No, if I had to sum it up in two words, I would say Mark Waid. And I hope I don't get as much hate from that from you as I'm giving you.
Who, me? Ben. No, I love Frank. I love...
Okay, good.
Yeah, I love Mark Waid's... It's not Frank Miller's. It's a completely different take on Daredevil.
Yeah. I guess it all depends. I mean, I understand what the idea with this, it would seem, would be going street level. So in a sense, Frank Miller's take on Daredevil would make sense in the grand scheme of things. You know... Mark Waid sort of has a fantastical element to his, which isn't unfeasible, but it's also
tonally,
like,
it's more upbeat.
Yeah, upbeat would be nice, but if it spirals down into like the Frank Miller Dark Days type thing, I wouldn't have a problem with that, because despite the shit I give you, I can respect Frank Miller's Daredevil run.
Damn right, you better fucking will.
Anyway, if it goes from sort of like a Frank Miller spiral downwards into, or it goes from Mark Waid spiraling into Frank Miller, I could get behind that idea. That being said, why you gotta do me like that, Ben? Why you gotta do me like that?
Whatever.
Hey, that didn't sound right. No homo.
Anyway, I would like to see Mark Waid because... I know, I mean, it's going to sound sort of immature, but Mark Waid's series was where I really fell in love with Daredevil as a character. And that said, I can respect others' works, but there's always that place in your heart for that first real creative force you ever read, where it's like they took this character and they just instilled something, not only in it, but in you, where it's like you just didn't
Yeah, Frank Miller. Frank Miller. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for you, for your Daredevil, it's
no,
Frank Miller.
You're wrong. It's Frank Miller. That's it. It's Frank Miller.
It's not Frank Miller for me, though. It's Mark Waid.
Well, you are sad, and I feel sorry for you.
After all this time, I stuck up for you with fucking a punk. Arr!
You don't like Frank
Miller? Taser, you go. I'm done.
Well, I've got two different words than what both of you have said. And as long as this happens, I'll probably be, I won't say happy camper because it is Daredevil, but I'll be content. Stiltman. As long as I get a Stiltman in this Netflix series, I can.
He's the villain of the Defender series. That's it. He's the big bad.
I want a Stiltman. I think I have sat through and waited for enough crap to happen on screen with various other characters that I could get a character who's not a villain but just a criminal. You know, somebody who's not out there to take over the city or out there to eliminate mutants or out there to rule the world or you know, this guy's just trying to make money. And that to me is Daredevil. He's a crime fighter. You know, I don't need to have, and, you know, Ben will probably disagree with me here, but I don't need to have somebody who I'll get all that invested in his personal life with the, you know,
I'm
drunky girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
and all the rest of that minutia.
What's the point of watching a TV
give
a
rat's
show?
Ass about that. I want the guy who's blind in the suit with the abilities, who kicks butt, and he fights criminals.
Who also has a tragic shit of a life.
I don't care about that.
That's part of the character, though. That's part of his character.
And that's why I don't read Spider-Man. I could care less.
Anyways, let's move on.
Hold on, time out. At what point do I need to jump back in? Yeah. As long as I get the costumed hero, I'll be happy. I don't need the melodrama. I'm not like you guys. I don't feed off of that. You know, I pick up books because I get to see people wearing, you know, loud, strange colors, wear strange outfits, and try to do good. You know, the fact that they take off the clothing afterward and they go home and they have to deal with something that they can't fix with whatever ability it is that they have, that doesn't draw me. You know, I'm not there for that. I'm not there to see how crappy, you know, Hero X's, you know, non-heroic life is. I'm there to see Daredevil kick the crap out of Bullseye. I want Stiltman, Bullseye, and freaking Kingpin. You know, I want to see that. I want that team up. As a matter of fact, I would be perfectly happy if the last three episodes of season one ended with Assault of Kingpin's Tower. You know? And the first person he's got to get past is Stiltman, of course, for whatever freaking reason. And part two is him getting past Bullseye. Culminating!
You're giving Stiltman way too much fucking credit. I love Stiltman. You're giving him.
Stiltman will get at least a page worth of.
But as one of the people guarding Kingpin's tower, are you fucking kidding
me?
No.
Yes.
Daredevil throws his fucking baton at a base point somewhere in his leg.
Got a force field. There you go.
Oh, that's bullshit. That's bullshit. Matt Murdock's
Hold on. We're talking about a guy who operates through an extensively designed radar sense, and you telling me that a guy who wears a suit that extends up about
that doesn't mean he can make it. Fucking
him having a force field is bullshit.
Yes, because that doesn't mean he. Where the fuck is he gonna make a force field?
Where the fuck is he going to make a suit that extends as high as it does?
He stole it from somebody. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, he stole it from AIM. There you go.
Hey, what about this?
This is a good AIM outfit. This, you know, a good piece of tech from AIM.
You're giving
it's,
Stilt.
It, it,
you're
it
giving...
extends high, and it's got a force field for the face. You're
giving Stiltman way too much damn credit. Stiltman's
no,
great.
Saying,
Stiltman's
like
great.
Stiltman.
Give me fucking the owl or something. Or give
Team
me...
Team up with Stiltman.
What about, Gladiator? What about him?
No! I got it. Here we go. As he approaches Fisk Tower, he's got to go past Stiltman. He gets past Stiltman. He gets to like floor, let's say Fisk Tower is like what 70 something stories. It's a big building.
It's a big
building. So let's say he manages to get up to floor 20, and he fights Bushwhacker.
I would still prefer Gladiator over Bushwhacker, but that's just me, though. I like the Roman. It'd be nice, cool to see, like, a Roman boutique out there. Plus, this is where I come in, for when the character tries to go on his road of redemption of no longer wearing a costume, I would like to see that storyline play out. That's just me, though.
Nah. I like. As a matter of fact, let me modify it. Outside the building, he fights not only Stiltman, but Bullet. If you guys remember, anybody remembers Bullet. He fights Bullet.
Take out Bullet, put in Mr. Fear. Put him in there.
No.
Are we just overlooking the spot here of all C-tier villains?
The spot is somebody that the Defenders fight.
But it'd be
really?
Cool to see
how... This guy takes four street-level heroes that they got. The spot. Really?
Yes. That's why it's something that he needs... four people to deal with.
Because Matt Murdock sure can't handle that shit by himself.
Except
Look,
and he made up with a mob boss's daughter in the meantime.
Matt Murdock throws something at him. What happened? My batons, I can't find them. You know? So, yeah, he fights Bullet and Stiltman, get into the building. He gets up to about the 20th floor. He fights Bushwhacker. He gets up to about floor 56, and he fights Mary.
Typhoid Mary?
Typhoid Mary.
That'd be cool.
He fights her.
Where does Elektra and Nachos come into play?
Elektra's dead.
No, she can't be.
She's the Defender's villain.
No.
After Daredevil takes a run at Fisk in his own series,
she's about to kill Matt Daredevil.
She's dead and has to be brought back by
she
the
She has to kill. She's about to kill Matt Murdock to kill Daredevil. Bullseye's overlooking. Double betray. They both team up to fight to take that Kingpin.
No.
Then Bullseye stabs her in the stomach, and then Matt Murdock accidentally kills Daredevil.
Bullseye.
I want my lecture. Damn it.
I'm not saying you don't get it. What I'm saying is it doesn't happen in season one.
I would like to see Fisk sort of be the touchstone, sort of in a way that S.H.I.E.L.D. is for the MCU. Fisk is the one manipulating all these people, like all in their lives and shit. And at the end, when they all take a run at him, of course he
That's
has the best
too much,
on
though.
Payroll. Why not?
So, wait a minute. Are you saying that Fisk would be the one that engineers Danny Rand's father being killed?
No.
What I'm saying is that once we see them all back in New York, they recognize the common criminal element of Kingpin being him that links all of their situations.
But like just the crime they fight. That's where the head of the demon is. That's what he's saying.
Okay. All right.
Pretty much he is the snakehead here. He is the guy that they got to lop off if they want to with a crime. And because they all realize that and they all take a run at him, he, of course, hires the best assassin in the world to protect him.
Wolverine.
And guess who that assassin is?
Wolverine?
Or both, I suppose.
Wolverine?
Yeah, we can do both.
Wolverine? It's Wolverine in it. Yeah.
No, actually. He hires the Hand.
That'd be cool. Oh,
and
see.
The Hand.
But you know.
And the Hand. No, hear me out.
No,
hold
on.
He hires the Hand. Shut up and let me finish. He hires the Hand. The Hand send their best, and it's Elektra. who has been brought back to life.
Why did no? That takes away the way he's no, no. I like
but
the part
that you
say.
If they snap in Daredevil series first, they'll be able to. Yes.
I'd rather have.
Yes.
Okay.
Nah.
Also, another thing, Kingpin should be able to handle at least some of them by himself. He, you know, he's not.
He's not handling Power Man or Iron Fist.
Power Man's not super strong, as far as I'm concerned. He just has dense skin.
Power Man, are you insane?
Is he super strong?
Power Man picks up tanks.
I've never seen him pick up a
tank. Yes! He is super strong and has steel hard skin. Luke Cage has always been super strong.
And he can handle Daredevil in a fight. I've seen that happen before.
Who, Fisk?
Yes.
Okay,
and I'm pretty
fine.
Sure he can handle Jewel to a degree, depending on what kind of powers they give her.
Hold on, but she's super strong, too.
That's just depending on the kind of powers they give her. We don't know anything about what they're going to give her. Wouldn't be a bad idea. Yeah. All I'm saying is Fisk can handle himself to a degree. Don't just, like, let
him. Regardless, I'm saying... He fights Typhoid Mary, he fights Bullseye, he gets the Fisk, and he loses the Fisk. That's the end of season one. Come on, that's good. Come on.
Which leads to what?
As a matter of fact, that works with what you guys want.
Yeah.
Where Wilson Fisk ends up being, you know, the big criminal mastermind, whatever, that's... behind all the stuff, and that's what brings
him
together.
Well, he is. He's the fucking king. He's the kingpin of crime. That's what he is.
He's also the kingpin of douchebags with whatever the fuck.
Hey, he never said he had to be a nice guy to be the king of crime, the kingpin of crime.
Hey, Michael Clark Duncan made that position cool. Okay.
Yeah, Clark got his knees kicked out from him. He was a punk.
Well,
I still don't know how Matt Murdock generated that much force.
And he's dead too.
That's evil.
What a dick. Taser, you're a dick.
Yes. Yes.
All right. So we've all pretty much said our theories on Daredevil and talked about it. Let's move on to the comics part. But I forgot because Taser apparently wants to review a shitty-ass Iron Man cartoon movie. Yeah, I'm calling it out already.
You say when the show starts that we review all things Marvel.
Yeah, no, I did.
Last time we
did something. No, I never said you couldn't. I'm just saying you're going to review something.
This is why I'm doing it, because you haven't. That's right. I'm picking up because
it's not even worthy.
You're slacking.
It's not worthy to be soiled by my hands.
Yes, it is.
No, it's
slacker.
No.
Slacker.
Have you done it since it's come out in September either? Nope. You were the slacker.
Why do you think I'm doing it? I keep looking for you. You're the leader. Your lead.
You could have done it earlier.
And you've been failing.
Nope. Nope.
I would also like to comment that what was that? Marvel, Lego Marvel Heroes Maximum Overload? That was funny. They showed it on Toon Disney last night, and it was, I think,
I want to play the game so fucking much, it's not even funny.
I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun, but it was really just a big takeoff on the Avengers movie.
Avengers
mixed with the Ultimate Spider-Man.
I got my dad the PlayStation 4 version for Christmas, and I got it early technically because it was a Black Friday sale thing on Amazon, so he is loving the ever loving shit out of it. I'm a good son. Continue with your review.
Okay, so Iron Man, Rise of the Technovore. I believe this came out, what was it, earlier this year? I think that was 2013, like around February or something like that. And be perfectly honest, because I haven't been paying attention to, you know, a lot of the other extraneous stuff, you know, specifically the animated whatevers, I didn't catch wind of this until, I don't know, freaking June, July, you know? And, Silent, that's your fault, okay? I paid you good money, you failed me, you suck. Anyway, they work with the movie universe in this because you've got Tony and Pepper in that kind of witty, kind of salsa dancey kind of relationship thing. Rhodey is in the War Machine armor. He isn't Iron Patriot yet. Well, at least they're working with, you know, that whole kind of facade thing. And, Black Widow and Hawkeye work with S.H.I.E.L.D. again, I'm still trying to figure out, why is Hawkeye always parried with S.H.I.E.L.D.? I'm seriously. I know they get that from the alternate universe, but that still, that just bothers me. But whatever.
I think it's because they're still trying to find his footing of where he stands as his own character. I mean, whether or not you agree with it, for the longest time, he had been a fixture on the Avengers, and that was about it. You know, he didn't really have a lot of solo.
Okay, that's the agree, but I think it's really more or less them whitewashing it, because the same thing with Black Widow, and we know that she was a spy for the other side, while Hawkeye was technically a criminal. Here, they just kind of cleaned all that up by making them government agents. You know, so it's like, eh. But whatever. And we also get the Punisher. And the Punisher was played by everybody's favorite Cajun, Hillbilly Hick Tracker, Daryl. Or what's it, Norman Reedus from Walking Dead. So it was actually, and I knew the voice, and I couldn't place it for the life of me. It wasn't until I stumbled across something that somebody said, no, and I went and looked at it. It was like, holy crap, that's what it was. So long story short, anyway, the plot of this is Stark, of course, has got some big project that he's trying to get off the ground. Literally off the ground. This satellite that's supposed to do a whole lot of monitoring, connected to a vast computer network called the Howard One. And, there's a whole lot of to-do and a lot of hoo-blah-blah. Come launch day, Tony and Rhodey are running security, whatever. And this person breaks into the launch facility. Meanwhile, there's an attack outside to kind of keep them distracted, but this person in white and, this really strange-looking armor, and, they kind of just walking through blithely setting free balls that just kind of disperse and do stuff. And he ends up taking out all of ground control. And, they catch wind that something's not right there, so they, decide to go investigate it. And well, Rhodey kind of gets taken out, and, Tony doesn't fare that well either. But fortunately, Howard One launches, okay? Move forward a bit, and we've got what looks to be a... We think Rhodey has been taken out permanently. Yeah, Rhodey's dead. And Tony is all, oh, no, I can't believe it. They killed Rhodey. I got to get these guys. This isn't going well. S.H.I.E.L.D.'s been called in, and S.H.I.E.L.D. wants to take and kind of get their hands in this first before Tony decides to go all alpha male on it, and Tony's not hearing anything. Nick Fury's trying to actually tell him, well, look, what we have here is, and Tony hangs up on him before he can get word out. That doesn't go good because S.H.I.E.L.D. sends, one of the helicarriers after him. Tony's hiding out with Pepper on one of their... He bought her an island because, he's just that rich. And it ends up being this big super battle with Tony eliminating, 6 dozen mandroids, which, because this was Japanese animated, they didn't draw the mandroids like you and I might think of the mandroids. They drew them as, just kind of clunky-looking robots, which, that's the Japanese sensibility, They did the interpersonal drama pretty decently, I thought. The animation and everything, I don't want to say it was standard, but it was solid. It got the job done. The interpersonal stuff, I think fans of the movie, aside from Ben here, they might take a shine to it. But I digress. Tony ends up taking out the mandroids, ends up finding out who the guy in white is. It turns out he's the son of Stain. I forgot the kid's name, but he's the son of Obadiah Stain. We all know who Obadiah Stain is, and he's been working on something that's a mix between biotech and nanotech, which is how his suit operates. But, there's some kind of flaw there because as we see during his conversation with Tony, yeah, things ain't right. You know, he's got some quirks. But the reason why he didn't take out the Howard one was because he needed the fact that it connects into, for all intents and purposes, everything. Yeah, because people would allow that, especially the U.S. government. He was going to take over the Howard one, then connect to everything, and then somehow reboot the planet and kill a large number of people doing it. Not that any of that makes any freaking sense or is feasible by any means possible, but this was the big plan. By the time Tony, you know, figures all this stuff out, he's on the run. He's got Fury sends Black Widow and Hawkeye after him, and he ends up leading them on a chase there in the Middle East, and he runs into the Punisher. And, yeah, Punisher doesn't kind of go, oh, Iron Man, you're a good guy. None of that bullshit. You know, he's kind of, so what do you want, and why should I help you? Screw you. Get the, and, you know, they end up making a deal, and I think that Punisher really more or less helped them to just kind of cheese off, you know, the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. And, of course, that works. You know, they think they've got Tony. Hawkeye at one point took Tony out with a electro arrow, which I would have just been embarrassed to kind of admit that had worked. But, you know, given some time and, you know, a chance to drain the charge. Of course, the armor comes back and they don't catch him, and Punisher steals their car. And again, another chase that leads to Japan, and Rhodey comes back because apparently Rhodey had been infected with the nanobots, which got into his system, which pushed out the shrapnel that had been his suit. No explanation as to how the suit repaired itself, but War Machine comes back on the scene. And the two of them proceed to take out Stane's son, who doesn't die, because that would be mean. And
they don't kill Ezekiel?
No.
Oh.
No, they don't. He's left kind of a, huh?
The fuck just
you
hit
know,
me.
A vegetable. What happened?
I just now I'm imagining him just be like, "What the fuck just hit me?"
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of I don't know, disappointing and you know it's kind of okay. You know, I'll accept it kind of ending. It wasn't the best animated project that I've ever seen, and it wasn't bad though. You know, I liked. Looking at it was fine, you know, it moved, it flowed, the animation wasn't clunky or annoying, it wasn't, didn't make my eyes bleed, it wasn't all that inspired, but it wasn't bad, you know. All in all, I'd actually say it was solid performance. The voice acting was good. Won't say great, but it was good, you know, nothing made me cringe and there was no annoying voices and you know or performances on that end. All in all, I would say it's at least worth the rental. It's not a bad product. It's just not, you know, wasn't great. Not like Iron Man and Hulk, because that was fun. That was a lot of fun. But I'll do that. That's for another show. So all in all. If I had to give it a Warrior review, I would say I'd give it 3.9 Warriors out of 5.
Oh, God. You ruined me. Oh, God. Okay, I'm going to say my two-piece on the movie real quick. It's a piece of shit. It's awful. It was boring. It was uninteresting. The animation was totally uninspired. It was like watching robots have sex, and seeing that is never fun. Ugh. Okay, let's talk X-Men because I love the X-Men. Everybody knows I love X-Men, right? Right? I'm not a mutant. I don't hate mutants. I love mutants. I have my best friend's a mutant. My best friend at work who's a mutant, who's also a mutant.
That's racist.
Whatever.
You're racist.
All right, so Amazing X-Men number 2, The Return, The Quest for the Nightcrawler, because he's German, yeah? So basically, this issue was all action.
No one thought that was funny but you. No one thought that was funny but you.
Only when Tom Brady is in ashes do I have my permission to die. Okay. So, this issue is basically the action issue where we get to see this particular group of X-Men squad fight the forces of heaven and of Azazel and hell itself. It's cool because Iceman in this issue actually melts. You know, he's like, because it's just so, the heat is so intense. And, you know, it's just a lot of fun visuals. This cover says Ed McGuinness, and I'm not saying this isn't a criticism, but it didn't feel like Ed McGuinness. It felt more like Stuart Immonen. I don't know if you agree with me on that, Bri. It was still him, but I felt like that he was taking influence from Immonen a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I definitely feel that. Definitely.
But, you know, it was great action. You know, it was nice to see Starfire, sort of the inner dialogue between them, or inner like, sort of, the whole thing is sort of is narrated by Kurt, you know, who they still haven't met up with yet, but it's a 5-issue story, so you can't have a meet-up just yet. So, you know, Kurt's going to be the swashbuckling pirate that he is and save the day. It's actually cool to see that Wolverine discovered that he was in heaven, like, what the fuck am I doing here? You know, and he actually falls into the void itself, which is pretty cool. So this is like X-Men meets Pirates of the Caribbean, basically, or not Pirates of the Caribbean, but X-Men in a different situation where you don't see them fighting a lot. So in that sense, it was cool. It was just a fun second issue. The plot, it progressed a little bit in the sense that the X-Men now know what the hell's going on, and they have the idea that Kurt is alive, or somehow, whatever. But it was still good, and you know, with Wolverine the X-Men ending, and just like I told all of you bitches, restarting, this is actually, I think I might be dropping that book when it ends, or just not picking up again, and just stick with this one, because this has that fun that Wolverine the X-Men had that they kind of lost a little bit with the Hellfire stuff. I liked it, but the element of what I liked the most about it was gone for the most part. Not gone, but it just was there less. So it was just a fun X-Men time. 4 out of 5. Bri, you wanted to say something, didn't you?
I did. Very briefly. There is a moment near the climactic part of this issue where Bobby Drake, forces of hell set against him, literally melting. He literally freezes hell over. I would like to award Bobby Drake the first annual Badass of the Week award, because when you can freeze over hell, that's just it. You froze over hell. You froze over hell. You win. You win forever.
Yeah, I spent hell.
Because Bobby Drake is the guy, I think how the book puts it, who you want by your side every time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, Bobby Drake, recipient of the first annual Badass of the Week award. Proceed.
Yeah, Iceman's great, and I love the fact that Starfire has the hots for him. Literally, quite figuratively.
Firestar.
What did I say?
You said Starfire. The wrong company.
Oh, yeah, this isn't the whore.
No, this is the 60s Spider-Man and his amazing
friends. No, it's the 80s. I like that, and she's kind of like, you know, it's cool because I haven't read a lot with her in it, you know, a lot of comics with her in it, so, yeah. Bri. Iron Man week this week. Iron Man number 20?
Iron Man number 19, actually.
All right, take it away then.
Yeah. Iron Metropolitan Part 2, Kieron Gillen. This picks up sort of with a lot of shit having gone on in Tony's life. Having just discovered or rediscovered he has a brother, Arno Stark, they decide to go about fixing the world or building for the world. And so Tony sits upon the idea of Iron Metropolitan, a city supposedly highly advanced in technology and its ideas, unassailable by most modern and futuristic threats. And this issue sort of delves into how Tony goes about not only settling on where to build, but who to involve in the project. And it's just sort of a rebuilding issue between Tony and Pepper. There hasn't been a whole lot of room between them since he left for space and covered the whole Secret Origin. But they're back in this now, and there's no romantic ties. It's strictly a friend dynamic, or sort of she is my keeper dynamic. And so
Wait. Let me interject. I just got to ask this question. Did they actually solidify on the fact that Tony Stark was not the son of Howard and, Martha Stark?
Did he tell Pepper?
No. I mean, is that the new truth?
Yes. Tony was adopted? That's what's happened, yeah. Tony Stark is adopted. His parents don't even love him. He tells Pepper that, and of course there's that glimmer of, oh, Tony, you poor unfortunate. Oh, wait, you're a fucking billionaire. Fuck you. And that sort of happens when he introduces Pepper to Arno, who is now literally plugged into sort of the Stark Industries mainframe and is sort of co-opting Tony's efforts throughout the issue. And he's sort of like... he's like the Q, I guess, the techie. He does computer analysis, hooks Tony up with the surveillance and all that stuff. He is the sort of eyes and ears for Tony when he really didn't need it, but he finds a place for his brother. I think that goes a long way saying that Tony Stark is not, you know, this isn't the selfish iteration. He finds his brother. What?
No, nothing. I was just remembering something from Kirk Busiek's run on Iron Man, that's all. I don't think I heard it right, though, so.
Okay. Also, there's a really funny moment where Pepper finds out that Tony repurposes AI in the suit after her with her personality and even gave her the acronym Pepper, and she's just like, that's kind of creepy, but also incredibly sweet and kind of a compliment because she ends up liking her AI persona. And so, with Pepper now firmly on board and caught up with what Tony's going on in his life, he has to find a place to build, and he sort of goes bold. He decides to build Iron Metropolitan on Mandarin City.
What?
He goes in, suits and guns a-blazing, pretty much says to everybody there, okay, protection rackets are over, your independence is over, fuck you, I'm building here. This is going to be the future. We're going to build it together. You can get on board, or you can get the hell off.
Say what?
Yeah. And as, if you recall, in the last issue, these so-called Mandarin 7, quote-unquote, these rings that seek out bears, gee, I wonder where they got that idea from, they picked up this British journalist, a radical journalist, I suppose, they say, Abigail Burns. And Tony, of course, leading the way, after taking Mandarin City for himself, decides to hold a press conference and announce his acquisition. And Mandarin 7, as she is called, is there, ready to dish out a good old-fashioned ass-whooping on behalf of the Mandarin because she apparently
Wait. Forgive me because I wasn't paying attention, but...
No. Please. I'll feel all questions.
Is the Mandarin alive? Or is it just agents of? Because I don't. I know. You and I both know that he kind of got a thing through his head. Which I know this is comics and death is meaningless, but like, I would like. Is he around? Is my boyfriend alive?
Let me just finish what I'm saying, and maybe that will help answer your question a little bit.
Okay.
So, the press conference is called, and Tony announces that he's going to talk about the future and how he's going to help build it. And this lady is having none of his shit. She is ready to dish out a good old-fashioned ass-woman. And this huge freaking blast of energy just consumed the stage, the podium. Tony gets knocked down, and he's like, oh, great, what happened now? And the journalist didn't do shit. She's like, did you just... And the ring responds with, I did nothing, Mandarin 7. I remain... What? What the fuck ever. I remain dormant, pretty much, is the fact here. Conversely, Mandarin 1 is now active. And out of that stage, out of the island itself, it would seem, of rusted metal and stone, emerges a giant fucking hand with this big glowing ring on its fist. And you just see Tony's sort of aide-de-camp go, well, look on the bright side, this declaration of war is going viral. Thus ends part two of Iron Metropolitan.
Up from the depths, 30 stories high, breathing fire, he glares from the sky, the Mandarin, the Mandarin. I'm sorry.
That was actually pretty good.
Yeah. We should, like, soundbite that for our
intro. Stop making me
do 200th episode.
Stop making me do shit. You don't edit this. Or pretend to edit because you don't really edit because you're lazy. Whatever. Okay.
Yeah, well. So, yeah. This whole Mandarin 7 thing, shit is hitting the fan. Tony is going big or going home, but unfortunately, the home is hitting back, as it would seem. There's no real indication in this issue as to what the hell it is that's just threatened Tony Stark, but my guess would be on some sort of trace of the original Mandarin's consciousness, perhaps. Some sort of invention left behind. I don't know if this is an allusion to, like, the Dragon Man or what's going on with that, but whatever this thing is, because we really do only see the fist. We only see the fist, so it's really kind of left ambiguous as to what the hell it is. Whatever this Mandarin one is, it will be revealed probably next issue. But, yeah, Tony just continues to display a complete and rampant disregard for any sort of diplomacy that doesn't immediately benefit him. You know, he just kind of, he literally blows through Mandarin C. He's kind of like, fuck you guys, go home. Okay? He tases a whole shit ton of them, blows up a couple suits in various radiuses of people shooting rockets at him, and he just sort of comes around and is like, hey, back me or you can go home. That's the way it is. This ain't no independent nation no more. This is this building, Iron Metropolitan. And there's something sort of appealing about that, sort of something intriguing, something freeing, but also something very, very dangerous. Because it shows Tony sort of going off kilter back towards, well, I'm Tony Stark, I can do what I want. And he's so hell-bent, it looks like, he's so focused on building the future, he doesn't realize what's right in front of him, I believe. At least that makes sense in my head, I think. That being said, Kieron Gillen, I got no gripes with him. I mean, the story is compelling, to say the least. Secret Origin, Tony Stark was great, and then the whole thing lead up into Iron Metropolitan really shook up what Tony Stark was with at the beginning of this whole Marvel Now relaunch. So it's an interesting position he finds himself in. It's definitely a sort of progress. Whether that's good or bad yet remains to be seen, because we still don't know exactly what the parameters of this story are. But I am holding out hope that when Mandarins 1 through 6 are revealed, we'll get a better idea of what exactly Iron Man's up against. So that having been said, very, very interesting issue, very compelling. I give it a 3.5 out of 5. Really a solid issue. And that will about do it for me, actually. I got really nothing else to say.
I wanted to pick it up because I heard about it. Then I realized it was part 2. I'm like, well, I don't want to get back to second issue. I'll wait for the trade.
I'll let you know as we go on, because I'll be picking this up consistently throughout the arc. So if anything happens.
Who's the artist?
Now it's not Dale Eaglesham. It is Joe Bennett is the artist on this issue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know if he's a fill-in or if he's just doing the arc or what, but that's the way it appears to be. Okay. Yeah.
Well, that concludes Iron Man week, apparently.
Yeah, right.
You could www.thewarriors3.com for all our website listings. Twitter.com/warriors3pcast. Page us on Facebook. The Facebook's stalking people looking for more things. Brian's crying in a bar over the loss of Rob Gronkowski and his torn ACL and MCL.
He's so young, he doesn't deserve it. It was a cheap hit. It was a cheap fucking hit. He better be fined. He better be fined and then suspended.
You sounded like an old Jewish woman. You seriously? It's like you need. To, I can't do it.
You shouldn't try.
Hey,
really. Okay,
I don't
want to
hear about that stuff now. Be nice.
Only when Tom Brady throws an interception does the city of New York. I don't know. So this train wreck of an episode is over with. We'll see y'all next week for episode number 152 with a little less Iron Man for my taste. Y'all have a good night.
But more Mandarin. Yay!
Iron forever!